Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own fault, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. And I ask the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Remain standing. Let us pray. O Lord, our help and our guide, make your love the foundation of our lives. Go before us in our pilgrimage of life, anticipate our needs, and prevent our falling. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is a proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. The Lord Jesus said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and rue and every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you! You're like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you're insulting us too." And he said, "Woe to you, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves, you do not lift one finger to help them." The Gospel of the Lord. That was a pretty serious gospel, and I guess my message today is not so serious. The religious leaders, of course, put burdens on the people. And one of the things that I'm trying to do during the course of this retreat is to lift those burdens off you. In fact, the whole theme of today, really, tonight will be about the Holy Spirit, but this morning is about relaxing and enjoying your life and being happy. And we had that beautiful entrance song about the joy of the Lord and enjoying each day. And we've had such beautiful weather during the course of this retreat. And it's easy to go out and take a walk and to enjoy. I remember 4 years ago when I was here, it was November, and it poured rain, you know, the whole week. And everybody was kind of stuck inside. But now we have a beautiful time. So I'm going to talk this morning about play and about enjoying and about hobbies and about leisure time. And I heard this joke, you know, a golf joke I wanted to share with you. This man came to play golf, and, you know, he was there at the caddy shack, and he needed a caddy, and he wasn't sure who to get, and he looked over, and he saw this man wearing a bib, and it said Eagle Eye on it. He thought, well, he'd probably be a good one, but he looked at him, and he was old. He was like 81 years old. So he goes to the caddy master. He goes, is he a good caddy? He goes, he's got the best sight of any of the caddies. That's why we call him Eagle Eye. He goes, all right, I'll choose him. So he chose him for the caddy. So then, you know, he lines up and he hits his drive, and the drive goes and it slices and it goes over into the rough. And he goes, did you see where that went? He goes, yeah, I saw exactly where it went. So they start walking down, you know, and they're heading toward the ball. And he goes, so do you know where it is? He goes, yeah, I know where it is, but I forgot where it went. So, anyway, I want to share with you this morning about leisure time and play. And I remember I was on retreat, and I was writing these talks, and as I came together to write these talks, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say, you know, on this retreat? You know, I've already given you four of the talks. And I remember as I was taking a walk out, it was in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and as I was taking a walk and enjoying the sun, I kept getting this sense from the Holy Spirit that God was saying, tell my people to lighten up and to enjoy. They're taking things too seriously. And, you know, religious people can be that way. You know, we're very serious and conscientious, and we take responsibility for our life. And as you've heard me say, you know, that's a beautiful thing. We need to do that. But the other thing that we need to do is to relax, to enjoy, to enjoy our life, you know, just simply enjoy it. And God is in the joy as well as in the seriousness. And I said, okay, and I came up with this sermon on play, I hope you like it, and leisure time, because as a religious person, I have come to realize the need for play as well as the need for being real serious and praying. So as we gather together today, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in your heart and help you to relax and to enjoy your day and to play and to pray. So as I was on that retreat, I had a great time, and I remember how Jesus talked to his disciples one time. They were so busy. People were coming and going, and you know, they were coming to Jesus, and they wanted all these good things from him. And then finally, Jesus said to his disciples, let's come aside and rest for a while and just relax, spend a little time in recreation. And I've discovered that, you know what, we need that. We have to come apart so that we don't come apart, if you know what I mean. And resting and relaxation are so crucial. They're so important. And really, the word that I like is recreation. We can be recreated as we spend time in play and rest and hobbies and leisure and different things. So let me talk a little bit about that. I had an interesting experience. You know, when the Hurricane Katrina hit, many evacuees came to Houston. And I happened to be there, and I went down to the convention center. And I walked into this, you know, huge hall, and there's beds everywhere, you know, where they're all sleeping, you know, if you think you're close, sitting to each other. It was just like that. Imagine sleeping, everybody in the same room, you know, more people than this. And there's cots everywhere, and everybody was serious and worried and stressed out, and you could see it on their faces. And then I looked as I'm walking, and there's these little kids with a ball playing in the midst of all this chaos. Now, all you got to do with kids is just give them a ball, and they will find a way to have fun. And yesterday I was walking in the street, and I looked, and there in the front yard, there's these four children playing, and all they had was this little round orb, you know, and they're kicking it. And they're having, you know, it's like you gave them $1 million. They're having a blast. Because, see, with children, play is instinctual. They know instinctually that they ought to be having fun and playing, and that's all they want to do. I'll go through airports, and, you know, when you get to an airport, you got to check in early, you got to go through security. A lot of people are real stressed out and nervous. Even, you know, as much as I travel, I find myself going, Cedric, relax. You know, you do this all the time. Just take it. But it's hard. You got to take your shoes off, and the luggage goes through the, you know, thing. And, you know, it's just all kinds of different things. You're on a time schedule. So there I am. I'm going through the airport. And, you know, you look at people's faces, and they're all, you know, stressed and nervous and everything. And there are these kids, and they're playing. You know, and that's just the way it is. You go shopping. Kids are playing. You bring them to church, kids are playing. You notice at McDonald's, they have now, they've finally gotten, they've gotten tuned into this. They have this playland right in the front of McDonald's. You know, bring the kids, you know, and all they want to do is go down the slide and play and jump and throw balls and everything. Play is instinctual. And don't lose your sense of play. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you know, to the children belong the kingdom. And I think part of that is trusting and vulnerability. But it's also their sense of joy and their sense of play. And, you know, what do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? Don't you think we're going to be dancing and playing and having a great time and just relaxing and resting and having worship and joy? And I came up with a statement that I saw. I love this. It's a quote. You are not too old when you can no longer play. You're too old when you no longer want to play. Hello. See, I think age is a state of mind, don't you think? You're no longer old. See, you're not old when you can no longer play. You become old when you no longer want to play. So really, I believe that play makes you feel younger. And if you read the book of Proverbs, it's interesting. It says that wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, played before God when God created the world. I love that. You know, you can just sense the Holy Spirit, you know, with all her power and grace and majesty playing before God as God creates the whole universe. That's a beautiful verse from the Bible. So, you know, I love to play. I think many of you know that. I wrote a book on golf, Golf and God, and golf is one of my, I love to play, you know, I grew up playing baseball, golf, tennis, soccer, you know, all these different things. And, you know, I thank God that my body is such that I can, you know, run and play and do different things. And as you know, one of the sports that I love to play is golf. And golf is a wonderful sport that you can get outside and walk. And I really believe that golf is meant to be walked, not ridden in a cart. You know, you just kind of walk out there and enjoy. But one of the things that I do when I play golf, I talked about this the other night, is I take my watch off. And see, I always live under the tyranny of time. I start right on time. I try to end on time. My calendar, you know, I know where I'm going to be 2 years in advance. You know, I live under the tyranny of time. Well, I take it off for a very practical reason. The reason is because when I play, it's very hard to swing if you have a watch on. So I take the thing off, and, you know, I can swing, and it's, my wrists are a lot more free. But I take it off for another reason, too. And the other reason is, as I said, I'm under the tyranny of time. And when I play, I don't want to know what time it is. See, I've entered into what I call sacred time and Sabbath time. And it's another type of time. It's not chronos time in the Greek. Chronos is that logical, right to the minute, you know, solar clock time. No, it's not chronos time. It's Sabbath time. It's sacred time. I went on a sabbatical 2 years ago. Sabbath, of course, means seven. Every 7 days we have rest. And God designed it that way, that we would have rest at least once a week, and we can bring rest into every day. Well, I went on a sabbatical 2 years ago, and I had a whole year to study, to pray, to recreate, and to travel. It was awesome, especially because I was so used to working and ministering and everything. And I had a whole year to do all these different things. So I went to Rome and studied, and, you know, I traveled and went to some different places like Hawaii, and I played golf, and, you know, and I got to be a chaplain on a cruise ship. I loved all that, you know, and everything. And during that year, I said, wow, why can't life always be like this? You know, when you're just, you don't, there's no time constraints, and I'm at rest, and I don't have any pressures or anything. And here's what I discovered. Life can be like that all the time. What you have to do is bring Sabbath into the now. Bring your rest into every day. And you can do that. It's just a state of mind. And I also realized that during my Sabbath year, you know what? There are other pressures. There's still traffic jams. There's still places that you got to go and be at. And I realized that, you know, Sabbath time is just like every day. And what we have to do is bring the sacredness up into every day. So one of the things I love to do is play golf. And the other thing I like to do is to jog. Yesterday I was running around Condon Park and that area over there. You know, I run about 3 miles every 3 days. And when I run or when I jog, you know, I love to do it, but it's hard. No matter how much, I've been doing this for 20 years now. When I still run, especially when I go up hills, and I find myself, you know, suffering as I run, but it's good for me. It gets my heart beating, my metabolism's up, helps me with digestion, helps me with stress and anxiety. But when I'm out there, I'm praying. I'm praying for you when I suffer, and I'm praying for myself. Lord, please help me to finish this run, you know, as I'm sweating and everything. And what I'm saying is that I invite God in to my leisure time. I invite God into the play. See, what we have the tendency to do, and it's really easy to do, is to compartmentalize God. You know, we can bring him into church. We can bring him into our prayer devotion time. And then at times, many people struggle with bringing him into the rest of the day. You know, we can be really religious and then not so religious. And what I'm after here is, when I talk about play and leisure and hobbies, is not only to enjoy that, but to invite God into it. Whether you're running or playing golf or tennis or whatever you're doing, think about God, pray to God, ask God to help you, ask God to enjoy life with you. I have a chapter in my golf book called Pray and Play. And I really believe that play can be holy as you invite God in. So what I'm saying here this morning, really, I believe, is that God wants us to enjoy. But he also wants us to be inviting him in, and he wants to have a part of all of our day, whether it be golf or running or recreation. And then, you know, I thought about my mom. My mom's 81 years old, and, you know, she doesn't have the body I have, and so she doesn't run or anything like that. But you know what? She swims. You know, people that are older, you know, there's activities that you can do too. Swimming is a great aerobic exercise for people. And it helps her with her, you know, her metabolism and her heartbeat and all that type of thing. She's overweight, but you know what? She goes with other people and she swims. They have a pool there in Florida that they all swim in. And I think that's great for her. You know, it gets her out, it gets her moving, it gets her out of bed. You know, a lot of people just like to stay in bed in the morning. And other activities that mom does, I notice, that aren't so physical, I notice when I'm home that she's by the computer. You know, she has internet there, and she likes to play. You know, what she plays is solitaire sometimes on the computer, and she also plays hearts. And, you know, this hearts game, if you know it, you can play with other people on the internet. You know, people on the other side of the country are playing the same game you are. And I watch her, and she enjoys it. She has a blast doing it. You know, she really has fun. And in a way, it's an escape from the boredom that she has. She's 81 years old. You know, she doesn't work or anything. So more power to her. Enjoy it. You know, get interested. Have hobbies. Have fun. Another thing that she loves to do, and I don't advocate gambling, but one of the things that she likes to do is play bingo. On Mondays, she goes over to the place where the pool is, and all these, you know, older folk, and they're there with her, and, you know, they have friends, and, you know, they talk and everything, and they play bingo, and they have a good time. So she gets out, and she does things, and she tries to, you know, recreate and do different things. And not everything is physical. You know, we have hobbies and different things that we do. So, by the way, speaking of bingo, you know how you make three religious women shout obscenities? Have the fourth one cry out, bingo! So there's all kinds of games. One of the things that I like to do when I fly, one of the brands of aircraft that I fly on, it has a TV screen. You pull it right up from your seat, and it has games on it. And one of the games is chess. I love to play chess. You know, I always like to play that game. And I crank it up to the master level. You know, I got to try to beat this computer. And, I'll, you know, we'll take off, and I'll put the thing up, and I'm playing it and trying to beat this thing, and I'm moving. And actually, I can beat the computer. I've done it, you know, but it's really hard. If you make one misstep, the computer's going to beat you. And I'm really concentrated. Before long, it's like, okay, put your tray tables down. We're landing. And it's like, see, all that time passed because I was playing. I was concentrating. I was enjoying my time. You know, it wasn't mundane. And that's something that playing does, and games and hobbies and getting interests in sports. That's what it does for you. Don't just spend time in front of a TV set. I'm not saying that. I'm saying get interested and have fun, and I'm giving you permission to play. I think that's something instinctual that God created us to do. And let me just list a few things that you can do. Of course, is golf, one of my favorites, tennis, shuffleboard. What about just walking? Every time I go by that garden over there, I take time out to smell the roses, especially those yellow ones. They're delicious. Cards, chess, checkers. Dance, you're never too old to dance. Painting, music, people like to play music like Ray. Hunting, fishing, gardening, biking, swimming, camping. I know Father Larry, he has a little camper. He likes to just take off and go camping. And then what about crossword puzzles? I notice that's something that especially elderly people love to do. My mom, you know, she wakes up in the morning, she's doing these jumbo things and crossword puzzles. You know what that does? In the brain, we have what's called synapses. And I say that when you work on those crossword puzzles, it makes your synapses synapse. In other words, you know, the electricity flows. Instead of dying, they synapse, you know, and the electricity is going through them. So that's how you stay alive. And if you're ever stuck on a word, do you ever think of praying and saying, Lord, what's the word? Help me to get that word. See, you invite God in, and it helps you to be alive and You're participating. That's prayer too. You know, when you invite God into these different things. So there's all kinds of different things that you can do. I remember I was watching TV one time, and I just flipping through the channels, and I tuned into PBS. And I see this man, he has this big Afro hairdo, and he's got this paintbrush, and he's painting. And he has the most soothing voice. And Bob Ross, that's his name. And, you know, I love to watch him. He's just, you know, he'll go, you know, you know, he does that, and I'm like getting goosebumps. And he's soothing and beautiful. And I love how he says, why don't we just put a tree here? Why don't we just put a waterfall here? What if there was a mountain here? And it's just like God. You know, God created. He spoke and he created. And, you know, we're made in the image of God. We're made to express ourselves. That's one of the reasons why I like writing books, because we all have within us the need to express, the need to be creative, the desire to play, the desire, you know, speaking about creativity, there's millions of books. Why? Because people are made in the image of God and they want to express what's within them. That's what I love to do as a preacher. The same way, you know, even gangs in Los Angeles love to express. All you got to do is go underneath a bridge, take a look what's under there, you know, all that graffiti. In a way, they're playing. You know, they do it with paint and everything, and if they get caught, they're in big trouble. But the bottom line is, we all have that wonderful need to express and to play. So really, what I'm trying to do this morning is give you permission on this retreat to enjoy your life. Get involved with stuff. You know, it's really sad when people don't even have a hobby or they don't participate in any physical activity. They just kind of let themselves go because you didn't grow up that way. You grew up as a little child playing, I guarantee it. You know, don't suppress the inner child. A lot of people say that, you know, I've lost my inner child. Well, find it again. I mean, it's in there. Your little girl, your little boy within you. And play, it's holy, it's good. God gave you that gift. And you might be saying, well, Father Cedric, if you only knew my schedule with the kids I have and everything, well, make time. You need that. Come aside and rest for a while. And let me just give you a few things before I close here. We had a big meeting of our religious with our provincial. There's about 100 of us Passionists in the United States in the Western Province. And we stood up, it was during an assembly, and the provincial stood up and he said something. He said, you know what, I've noticed that many of you are overweight, that you haven't been taking your vacations, and that you haven't been going on retreat. You're stressed out and you're overworked. He said, I command you under obedience to take your vacations, to go on retreat, and to lose weight. And I'm a very obedient person. So I take my vacations, I go on retreat, and I play. And really, you know, that was such great advice because we're not, it's like, it's not right if we do that, some people think. I just got to work, and I got to produce, and I got to do this. Well, how do you think that you can produce the best and work the best and pray the best? Well, you got to take that time off, too. That's why I do not feel guilty about going to play golf tomorrow and taking some time off. You know, I'm going to Orangevale on Saturday, and I'm starting a mission there right outside Sacramento. And, you know, I need a couple days off just to rest. Like I said, you're very unruly people, and you're hard to deal with. And it's okay. And so I really want you, you know, at your stage, many of you aren't working anymore. You're retired. But it's okay. Play. Enjoy. Get invested in hobbies. You know, keep your mind active. You know, do all those different kinds of things. But here's a little warning. There's a proverb that says, honey is sweet, but too much honey makes a person sick. You know what I mean by that? Play is good. Golf is fun. Computer internet's fun. But if you keep doing it too much, you're going to overdo it. So keep it in balance. You know, work around the house. Do things. Be involved in what you need to be involved in the community. But play also. You know, you've got to keep it in balance. If you do too much work, you're out of balance. If you do too much play, you're out of balance. Try to keep a healthy balance. Otherwise, it'll make you sick. Because I've done that. You know, sometimes I'll have a week off and I'll play golf every day, and my game will get worse. And I'll say, this is terrible. You know, I wish I never took up this stupid sport. So, but when you do it once in a while, it's like, wow, it's just wonderful to be out and just a rest and relaxation. And the other thing I wanted to say is that include God in your leisure time. As I said, play and pray. When you're doing your crossword puzzles, be praying to the Holy Spirit to help you. When you're watching TV and you're watching Bob Ross or something, think about, oh, Lord, that's you who create like that. And you've put that creative power in me. And, you know, when you're swimming, be praying, Lord, help me to stay afloat and not drown, you know. So whatever it is, pray, invite God into your leisure time, and you'll sense that he really is with you to recreate you, to refresh you, and to strengthen you. When I was in Cleveland a couple weeks ago, I met these ladies at this parish. They were called the Red Hat Ladies. Have you ever heard of that? And I found this poem, and I want to leave you with this. It's kind of a fun and frivolous poem. Maybe some of you have heard it, maybe some of you haven't. But it's by a woman named Jenny Joseph, and it kind of goes with what I've been saying this morning. See, yesterday was all about sacrifice, and it was very serious. But today, it's just as much a word of the Lord. It's about enjoying your life in your leisure time. So this is a poem by Jenny Joseph. When I am an old woman, I shall wear purple, with a red hat that doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say that we've no money for butter. And I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired, gobble up samples in shops, press alarm bells, run my stick along the public railings, and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain, pick flowers in other people's gardens, and learn to spit. Well, maybe I ought to practice a little bit now so that people who know me aren't too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and I start to wear purple. In the name of Jesus, I give you permission to enjoy your life.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.